And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the 8 o'clock spot live here on the Grid Network's YouTube channel and Twitter account. I am your host slash judge slash moderator, Bryson Carver. Very excited to be back on the in the building today after a hiatus last week. We got all kinds of stuff to get into, college basketball, men's and women's. We got some NBA stuff to get into, an all basketball show, which is appropriate coming off of. I mean, we're still technically in March Madness. I know it's April 2nd, but we're still in March Madness technically. Fun show on tap. First off is a man who is the co-founder of the Grid Network, the host of the All Even Podcast, and currently at number two on our 8 o'clock spot leaderboard, it is Barry Grant Jr. Barry, how are you doing on this Tuesday night, my friend?
You know, as the creator of this show, I come here most of the time, you know, when I'm on this show and say that I am the creator of this show. I should be number one by default regardless. Oh. But, you know, I will get there. I will get there after this show. I'll be fine. I am not in a good mood. I'll tell you that right now. I'm coming in surly. I'm coming in hot. My Mets suck. All right. Duke lost. Again, they shouldn't have lost. I am not in a good mood, and I'm ready to be on the attack tonight.
I love that because, listen, the Mets always suck. That's called Major League Baseball history. And Barry was about to pounce all over me on my Tennessee Vols getting knocked out of the Elite Eight. We'll talk about Zach Edey later. And then Duke Blue Devils lost to the 11th seed in the NCAA tournament, who shouldn't have even got in until they made a crazy run. So, You can zip it, Barry. Neither of us are feeling terribly well about ourselves after our teams lost on Sunday. Nonetheless, we move on to a newcomer to the 8 o'clock spot. It is Keith Nandon, a special guest at the 8 o'clock spot. Keith, we were talking before the show, getting acquainted with each other. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am well, you guys. I am well. Just want to thank Barry for letting me come on, you know, shoot the you-know-what with you guys and talk some sports. And I remember from Barry, me and Barry rarely agree on anything, so it should be fun.
I love that. That's what makes the show fun, is the back and forth.
There we go. Yeah.
It's going to be good stuff. So very excited to have you on. And back on the show once again is a multi-time champion of the 8 o'clock spot. It is the host of the Fan Perspective Podcast, John Rivera. John, how you doing tonight, my man?
I'm good. I'm blessed, man. I like that multi-championship. You got a ring to it, so let's add another one to it. Yeah.
We'll see. You're high up on the leaderboard, so an opportunity to kind of close the gap between yourself and the leader. So it should be fun, no question about it. Let's look at our leaderboards real quick before we get into our first topic. After Tim Barnard finally broke the curse, you see him finally kind of move up the list there. But Mike Guido in first, Barry Grant Jr. in second by a slight margin. Then you got Alfred Parsar Jr., Dalton Brown, Devin, John Rivera, Adam Bessie, Tim Barnard, Dylan Lima, EJ Savage, Ryan Flowers, Anthony Bessie, Alex Johnson, and Eric Van Letten at the bottom of the list. Let's go into our rules for our first round topic. It's quite simple, ladies and gentlemen. A great take gives you 200 points. A good take gives you 100 points. An okay take gives you 50 points. And a bad take, you come home empty-handed with 0 points. The most watched college basketball game in the history of ESPN on the women's side was played last night with the Iowa Hawkeyes knocking off LSU, the defending champion LSU Tigers, in a rematch 94-87, and one Caitlin Clark, all she did is being the superstar of college basketball right now, has dropped 41 points, dished 12 dimes, and get 7 rebounds in this basketball game. She controlled every aspect of it and was simply fantastic. This game, by the way, was watched by 12.3 million people. Again, making it the most watched women's college basketball game of all time. I will start with you, Barry Grant Jr. We talked about on the 8 o'clock spot a few weeks ago, like, where does she rank in all this? More specifically, though, because there's been a lot of debate about this, does she need a title? But what would a title mean for Caitlin Clark if she were to go all the way with Iowa?
I think it's an icing on the cake of a, you know, spectacular college career. I think that a title goes a long way with moving her into, I guess, the top two of all time in regards to women's basketball players of all time. You can be able to say that. You know, my biggest thing was there's been so many great college players before her on both sides that to say that she's, you know, in the top 10 is a stretch, but you can say that she's definitely in the top three in regards to women all time. So, yeah, I mean, you know, all she's doing right now is kind of stamping her legacy further as one of the best women's college basketball players that ever walked the planet. So, you know, shouts to her. I'm looking forward to seeing her, you know, do what she does in the national title game. But that game ain't going to be no slouch game, I'll tell you right now. So we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, that back and forth between her and Paige Beckers is going to be something to see. Obviously, with UConn winning yesterday against USC to advance to the Final Four, which will be playing on Friday. And you know, you mentioned kind of her stepping up to the moment. I saw stats saying that in all games out or all games past the Sweet 16 that she has played, she averages like 38 a game on 50, 40, 90 shooting. Just insane numbers. And we know the range that she showed last night, just hitting unbelievable shots across the board. So Barry Grant Jr., you will start tonight in this 8 o'clock spot with a good take. Get you to 100 points here to start the night. A good take for Barry Grant Jr. Moving to Keith Nandan right now, your very first take in the 8 o'clock spot. Look, curious what you have to say here. Title mean well, if she wins the national championship this week.
Well, I just want to start with saying that was history for me in a sense that that was the first time I ever watched a women's college basketball game from beginning to end. And it had nothing to do with the fact that I may or may not have wagered on the game. But having said that, she is, I mean, a championship, she's the GOAT. I mean, Barry can say what he wants. I mean, a championship to me is she's clear cut the GOAT. So for me, she is her. She is her. I don't know. Top three. I mean, I don't know who are the two players that are better than her. I can't think of a woman's player better. And there's an argument for her to be maybe. Forget about women, maybe one of the best college athletes ever and a national title. She's goated, in my opinion.
Cheryl Miller might be better. I'm just saying.
Cheryl Miller was different. There's no question about that. Yeah, and listen, my go as currently Cheryl's- we currently sit here today, all time, whether it's a college game, whether it's all time WNBA, I think Maya Moore is the greatest female player I've ever seen in my life. I think this may be a hot take. I honest to God think she could have held her own in the NBA.
She was a beast. She was a beast.
Yeah.
And again, she retired from the game, for much greater cause. But had she continued, like she would have won even more championships, even more MVPs. But nonetheless, what you said about Caitlin Clark is true. Like you sort of talked about how you watch the game from start to finish. That's because she's drawn in so many more people to women's college basketball, as has Angel Reese, as has Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins. And so when you consider what she's done in that regard, kind of spearheading that, it certainly means a lot for the women's game and has caused it to grow to the level that it has. Keith Nandan, your first take of the 8 o'clock spot is a good one to get you to 100 points to tie Barry Grant Jr. in terms of what a title would mean for Caitlin Clark. Finally to you, John, what would a title mean for Caitlin Clark if she wins it in the upcoming week?
Man, a title for her, well, I would agree with him. Will make her the greatest of all time because you got to think, she's not at a big school, man. She's at Iowa. Like, Iowa known for football, and they don't even score a lot of points, you know what I mean? And they go for corn. But, yeah, she'll definitely be the greatest of all time, especially through this. She's only even got the best team, bro. Like, all these people were transforming the portals to go to LSU. They beat LSU from last year's national championship, you know. This year, she'll have to go through one of the top programs of all time, which is UConn, in that dominating force. So if she was to beat them and then beat the other upcoming, the Alabama, basically, of college football, I mean, of college women's basketball now, that the new up-and-coming in South Carolina, come on, man. She'll definitely be the GOAT. She's doing all these accolades, man. Kids want to be here, bro. Like, she's doing everything right, man, and she's breaking records. So with all that being said, man, if she gets this national championship and going through all the obstacles that she went through as far as competition and everything and not being at a big school, that'll definitely put her as number one college female athlete of all time.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up sort of the run and the level of difficulty, right? You take down LSU, who I think we all agree here has a better basketball team all the way around than Iowa. Obviously, we saw what they were able to get the W last year. I think I saw like Caitlin Clark has – I don't think she has any teammates that are projected to go to the WNBA or have a successful WNBA career. A lot of the other greats, you think UConn, Tennessee, some of those women were teammates. And so being able to kind of work together to win championships and like, you know, I said on my show carving it up yesterday that have you ever in your life had a conversation outside of the state of Iowa for more than a minute or 2 minutes about women's college basketball in Iowa pre Caitlin Clark. And that's what she's done. And so, yeah, if she were to go on this run, by the way, remember South Carolina's had one loss in the last 2 or 3 years. It came at the hands of Caitlin Clark and Iowa in last year's Final Four. So if there's anyone who could take him down, it would certainly historically appear to be Caitlin and the Hawkeyes. I'm going to give you a great take, John, just because of what you're talking about in terms of the run, in terms of, you know, the basketball, college basketball blue bloods like UConn, who's an excellent defensive team led by Paige Beckers. Obviously Gino Auriemma is the coach. This would be an incredible run. And if she does it, it's going to be you cannot, and I think you can make this case now. I don't think you can make a case for anybody as the GOAT if Caitlin Clark is not at least involved in the conversation. Certainly if she wins a national championship, and I would even argue now just what she's done individually and for the sport as a whole. Good stuff, gentlemen. We will move on to our second round to the men's side of the college tournament. But first, our second round rules. Everything gets doubled from the first round. A great take gives you 400 points. A good take gives you 200 points. An okay take gives you 100. And a bad take, still zero. 0 points right there. It's a little bit of a painful one for me because Purdue knocked out my Tennessee Volunteers on Easter Sunday. Zach Edey dropped 41 points in this game, was absolutely dominant from start to finish. He's had a remarkable tournament. He's likely going to be the Naismith Player of the Year for the second year in a row, even though it should be Dalton Kennett of Tennessee. Neither here nor there, but there's a lot of debate, right? He's 7'4". He's dominating the college game to the level that he is. But there's questions like, can he guard the perimeter in the NBA? Again, at his size and his maybe lack of agility. Can he shoot? That has been a major question that we have really yet to get a solid answer to in a positive respect. So I will ask you, Keith, will Zach Edey be successful at the next level in the NBA next year?
Oh, I think he'll definitely be successful. I mean, if you look at him, I try to look at guys, you know, what they would be like as pros. To me, he sort of moves like a Zubac. And like you said, I think his defense is probably going to be the weakest part of his game. But I think he could go into the NBA tomorrow and he could give you a double-double. He seems like he's got the skills to score in the post just defensively and in transition. He's going to get hurt running up and down the court a little bit. But without a doubt, in the half court, he can score.
Yeah, he can. And that's, sort of the strength of his game. Like when he's operating in a set half court offense, like that's Purdue has some really good point guards getting the ball in good positions down there in the post. But like you said, defensively, like I argued on social media and even on my show that, for my Vols to win, I think that our head coach, our outstanding should be Hall of Fame head coach Rick Barnes, should actually, as crazy as this sounds, maybe go small. Whereas obviously you may get torched by him inside, which you did anyway, but you play small ball, you play the five out, make him guard the perimeter, get him in foul trouble, yes. and make Purdue's head coach, be forced to sub him out of the basketball game. So, yes. For all those reasons, those things are certainly limitations. In general, I will, if I can get this point total up here, I'll give you a good take, Keith. I do think there are some components of his game that could translate. He does have good footwork. He's good in a set, like you said.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I would pump the brakes on, maybe an all-star right away or not even superstar. Oh, no. I'd pump the brakes on all that stuff, but he can play in the NBA.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we've seen Luka Garza comes to mind, who played, ironically, we just talked about the school Iowa the last few years. Right now he's a bench warmer for the Minnesota Timberwolves, so I think, honestly, as harsh as it sounds, that's kind of my comp for Zach Edey, but we'll see what comes. To you, John Rivera, do you think Zach Edey will be successful at the next level in the NBA starting next year?
First and foremost, if you make the league, you're successful, man. Like, you won. Like, that's your childhood dream to just make the league in general. But you got guys that, have good runs or whatever, Doug McDermott, Duke's guy over here, Barry Grant, Grayson Allen, like, some type of players, like Grayson Allen sucks, but some type of players that still, be on the NBA roster. So a success, like I said, is making the NBA in general. So he could be a good role player, As long as he can shoot, these days, man, like going to Caitlin Clark, like as long as you can shoot, bro, you can be on the NBA roster, man. So definitely he would definitely be drafted and he'll make a good impact, on the, say like a veteran team because he won't go top 10 or nothing like that. So if he goes in the teams, he can go to a team like Barry's Lakers or your Golden State, add to a veteran team where he can play some good minutes,
Yeah, I would not be happy if the Golden State Warriors took Zach Edey because that to me would just totally disrupt. It would clog up the paint for Steph and for whoever else is there. I don't know what's going to happen with Clay or Draymond, but that could potentially be frustrating. But you bring up some good points, like about his ability to score down low, but like you said, also and I've said this for years if you look at superstars, like the guy, the true great top 10 players in the NBA right now, the only guy who can get away with not being a great shooter is Giannis, and that's because he's an absolute force down low and is almost impossible to stop. I don't think Zach Edey is that. In the big picture, you are right. You make the NBA. You're one of the best basketball players in the world. You obviously did pretty well for yourself. So I'm going to give you a good take. John, get you to 400 points and a slight lead over Keith right now before we get to Barry. Yeah, I think there are components of his game that do translate, but again, major flaws would really make me hesitant to think that he's going to have any sort of long-term success at the next level. To you, Barry, finally, do you think Zach Edey will be successful at the NBA level?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I am not somebody at this point of my life to write off anybody because I've seen too much basketball and I've seen too many kids be told that they're not good enough to make the league. And then when they end up getting to the league, they end up having very, very successful careers. You know, Gilbert Arenas was pushed to the second round. We saw what the hell happened to him. You know, other players come to mind. Even a guy like Brent Carroll that I said when he got drafted, right? Didn't think he was going to end up being what he is right now. And look where he is. Anthony Davis. When a guy like Anthony Davis got drafted, yeah, people thought that he was really good. But did they think that he was going to be as good as he is now? No. So we don't know what these guys are capable of. Even a guy like Tyler Hansborough, when he was in college, wasn't really heavy athletic, right? He was dominating in college, but he had a pretty solid NBA career if you think about it, if you look at his numbers, right? He wasn't a superstar, but he was a damn good role player for many years. So that's pretty much all you're looking for is a guy that has the IQ that Edie has. He's going to be able to adapt his game somehow. If he's not going to be able to be a rim-running big, he's going to be able to try to find his spot somewhere. He can shoot. He has some skill to him around the basket. So there's always going to be a place for a guy like that, especially because I think at some point the NBA is going to go back to having dominant bigs very soon. The game is kind of – it's always an evolving thing, but you always start to see little specks of the past come back a little bit. So I think I'm going to see that, or we're going to see that happen at some point, and a guy like Zach Edey is going to be able to thrive in that particular situation.
Yeah, he could, and I definitely agree with you that the league is certainly shifting to more of a bigs league. You always talk about Jokic. We're going to talk about Embiid at the end of the show. We see what Wimby's doing, Giannis, Anthony Davis. Like, again, these guys are making massive impacts for their teams right now. And so, from that perspective, again, I don't think Zach Edey's going to reach anything close to any of those guys' level. But, yeah, I do think, again, like being 7'4" does matter. There's a reason that you can't, what they say, you can't teach 7 feet tall. Like you're either that or you don't. And so, and again, I do give him credit. Like I watched the Tennessee game Purdue against Tennessee and watching previous games he's played. His footwork down the paint's really good. He's got a nice soft touch down there. So, can he develop that? Can he sort of expand his game? Maybe even it doesn't have to be like a 3-point shooter necessarily, but can he be able to knock down a mid range from like the free throw line? Jokic.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Prime example. Look at a guy like Brook Lopez. Really found a place in this league from being a back to the basket big, wasn't a great rebounder, but now he's a guy that can knock down and hit 200 threes a season. So this is a guy that's had the IQ to be able to adjust to the league and what was needed for him to be able to be successful. So I don't see Zach Edey being, he can be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, he could. And for that, I'm going to give you a good take, get you to 300 points here, tied with Keith, 100 points behind John. I will have to, super quick, this is completely off topic, but I just have to have you on the record now that we're on the show right now. You, my friend, were a bit skeptical about that guy in San Antonio, Mr. Wembanyama.
I still am.
Are you, what's that?
I still am.
Oh, man. Okay, we'll move on.
It's 1 year. You need to show me more than one season. I'm tired of people talking about all these things in 1 year. What ends up happening if Wembanyama gets hurt next year and then he ends up being Ben Simmons or he ends up being Zion? You don't know.
He's not going to be Zion or Ben Simmons.
You got to give it some time, man. He's having a good rookie season, but let's cool out. Let's relax.
He's going to be one of the 10 best players ever when he retires, calling it right now. Yeah. Okay. I'm just putting it on the record. Real quick, we do have some comments here on the show. Our guy, EJ Savage, who did host the 8 o'clock spot a few weeks ago. Shout out to him. Eddie, LOL. It's actually Edie. Let's see. We got WBH Radio, Mr. Grant, shutting Barry out right now in the comments. The return of the bigs. Tell me about it. Yeah, there's no question. The league is definitely, listen, you're going to have your Stephs. You're going to have your John Morants, kind of your smaller players, be successful. But by and large, the NBA, you look at the greatest players ever. Look at the top 10 guys. Only Steph and Michael Jordan are 6'6 and below. Like everybody else is by and large big guys. One of them happens to be LeBron James. Let's get into our third round rules real quick. This is the last segment that everybody's going to be involved in before we get to our top two point getters. Everything gets doubled. A great take gives you 800 points. A good take gives you 400 points. An okay take gives you 200. And a bad take, you come home empty-handed with 0 points. To LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers, all he did was drop 40 points on the Brooklyn Nets. Did so on 13 for 17 for the field, including an incredible 9 for 10 from three-point range. LeBron James, in this game, I saw this. This is unbelievable. Had the ninth most efficient 40-point game in NBA history. He also broke Michael Jordan's longstanding record for the most 30-point games in NBA history. In this season, as hard as this is to believe, he is shooting a higher percentage from three than one Steph Curry. Now, Steph obviously takes more threes and with a higher difficulty, but still, that is incredibly notable. LeBron's shooting it at about a 41.5% clip. So I will start with you, John Rivera. On a scale of 1 to 10, how impressive was LeBron James' performance? Is that an MJ Funko Pop thing? Oh, boy.
Yes, sir. Yeah, MJ, John.
What's this got to do with MJ?
Nah, I'll just at the studio and start showing some of my things. Like a kid, you know, some of my Jets helmets.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, nah, man. Anything LeBron do is special, bro. Like, he, especially from his age, and especially he's not a great or the best 3-point shooter ever. Like, so to go shoot them type of threes, man, and still play at the higher level, man. What more can you say about him, man? Like you said, if he not one, he two. If he not two, he one. But that's whoever want to debate that. But yeah, man, he just, hey, like I said, what can you say, bro? Like, he's the one of the best, if not the greatest of all time, man. And anything he do is not really impressive to me, I would say, because he done did everything, bro. Like, he done did everything. He did a Space Jam movie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what can this man cannot do? What can he do? You know what I mean? He's going to own an NBA franchise soon, like, you know, model citizen. So all I want him to do before his career ends is drop 70 and then call it a gift. That's all I want him to do, man, that to end his career, man. Is, like, go out there and just do an MJ Kobe moment. And I mean, just go to the rim and just dominate, like, the whole game. Shoot 50 shots, get 100, because he's more than capable of doing that, man. That's the only thing I want personally to see LeBron do, man. Even though it's not in him to do it, you know what I mean? Maybe against his sons in 2K or something like that. But in the game, nah, so. Yeah, he's just a man, though. Like I said, nothing is just like wow, like oh, you know what I mean? Because he just done did everything, man, possible. So, but shout out to the King, man. He definitely still doing his thing and still got a good chance, man, at winning that title this year, man. D'Angelo and them still play good. And AD, what, missed 5-6 games this year? And yeah, man, like I said, Denver, you never know with Denver, Murray's injury. So yeah, they still got a shot, man. As long as they got the King, man. Hey, good, man. So shout out to the King. Like I said, nothing is impressive. Nothing is, like I said, he could do everything but score 70, man.
That's scale of 1 to 10. Scale 1 to 10, where do you rank it?
Out of 10?
Yeah, scale 1 to 10. Where would you put that?
8.
Oh, wow. Okay. 8 for LeBron. No, and I think you're right. Like, you know, the fact that he is, and there's so many reasons that this is the case, but the fact that he's sustaining what he's sustaining in year 21 at age 39 as literally the single oldest player in the NBA is we've right. Again, the only athlete in American team sports in history. Maybe you can argue, you know, athletes, obviously Kareem had a long prime. So did, you know, guys to go way back like Nolan Ryan and guys like that. But really in the modern era, the only guy that can look LeBron eye to eye and say, I sustained greatness for just as long of a period as you did is Tom Brady. And that's it. And so what we're seeing from him is simply incredible. So for that, John, if I can get this on the board right now, give you a good take. Do we have it? Good take gets you 800 points here. I think it's, again, you sort of hit on, like, when he continues to do this, we sort of do, after 2 decades, sort of start to run out of adjectives. Like, how are we really supposed to put this into context? Because we've never seen it before. So it's hard to really comprehend it. So it's incredible. So John, a good take in this third round. To you, Barry Grant Jr., I know you and I agree, and we can talk about another day, the GOAT discussion, whatever. You and I agree that LeBron's the GOAT. What scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank this performance for your guy LeBron James for your Los Angeles Lakers?
A 30.
Oh.
A 30. And the reason why it's a 30 is because he's 39 freaking years old. This is a guy who came into the league at 18 years old, couldn't shoot to save his life. Couldn't shoot. 2007 finals, Greg Popovich said, let him shoot. 2011, 2012, teams didn't care for LeBron to shoot the basketball. He didn't even, I think he probably took like or made under 100 threes that year. He didn't shoot a lot that season. He came for, he was on a mission because he's like, I'm going to get to the rim. But this is a guy that understands the evolution of his body, the evolution of his game, the evolution of the NBA. Says, I need to work on my game. I need to work on my perimeter shot. And for a guy that's been a career 32, 33% three-point shooter for his career, he's shooting it at 42%. If you want to round it off, that's ridiculous. Like, we're talking about things that this guy is doing at this age that nobody has even thought about doing in sports in regards to basketball. Outside of Tom Brady, outside of some, you know, some other sports and stuff like that, this is not something that you're supposed to be doing at this age, right? When Barry Bonds was knocking home runs out of the park, everybody's like, hey, he's on the juice. What can you say about bro? He's not on nothing. He's just a guy that understands and studies the game, understands what he has to do, and this is why whatever he does, and oh, you know, nobody wants to talk about the other record that he broke, most 30-point games in NBA history. It just continues. I don't care when people want to talk about the longevity record. Yeah, it's fine. Okay, cool. He's been playing a long time, but you still got to do it. You know what I mean? Craig Biggio got into the Hall of Fame for playing 20-plus years, but he still got 3,000 hits. You know what I mean? People can play that long and not be that good. So it's about, you know, consistency, longevity, and durability and the skill. And LeBron James has shown that for his entire NBA career, and he's going to show that for the other 3 or 4 years that he's going to continue to play. So,
yeah, no, and it's great. And the one of the many, many false LeBron narratives that absolutely drive me insane is the, you know, this notion. It's kind of unspoken. Nobody really says it, but you can kind of hear it in their tone, like as if he's this stat accumulator, like he's just like he's dangling by a string at the end of his career. Like, man's averaging 25 points on 50% from the field and 40% from three with, if I'm getting this right, 8 rebounds and 7 assists. Like the guy is still,
right. It's the sixth highest assist point per game that he's had in his career. Sixth.
Crazy.
So let's just talk about this thing. Like, but they don't want to talk about that. So, you know, I'm not going to bring it up here. I don't want to, you know, have my Braun flag waving. But everybody know, for people who hating on Braun, you just hating because you want to. It's not because he's doing anything wrong or, you know, he's not balling. It's just straight hate.
By and large, that is the case. Great take, Barry Grant Jr. Gets you over the 1,000-point threshold. Basically, seal your spot in the final round, and we will see who you take on. It'll either be John Rivera or Keith Nan. Before we get to you, Keith, we do have a comment by EJ Savage. He says, LBJ is the best basketball player of all time. So EJ aligns with myself, with Barry, certainly. I'll see what Keith thinks. Keith, on a scale of 1 to 10, how impressive was this performance by the King against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday?
I mean, that's just LeBron being LeBron. He's one of the GOATs. I was more so just happy that the Brooklyn fans got to watch that, because that's what you're going to the game for. And I'm glad that, you know, he actually went to work and didn't take one of his load management days. You know, Barry said, you know,
you gotta relax.
I'm gonna give LeBron as a basketball player is one of the GOATs, and I'm going to try, because you said nobody can hate on him, but I'm going to try right now, because you hit it on the head, Barry. He might be LeRoyed. He might be roided up. You don't know that. You know, you don't know. No, I'm kidding. But in all seriousness, okay. He's
good April Fool's joke there.
He's one of the, but it's honestly, I mean, he's still a man amongst boys. You know, it's crazy at that age that he still looks like he's playing, you know, like he's on the varsity and he's playing against the JV. That's the way that it still looks sometimes at his age, which is it's incredible. And, you know, again, I'm happy for Brooklyn fans that they got to see that, because that's what you paid your money for, because it's not to watch the Nets. So I'm happy for Brooklyn fans.
Yeah, no, the Nets are bad. It's, boy, the fall from grace. Although, did they really ever get to the top? They won one playoff series with KD and Kyrie. But that is beside the point. That is a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, you make a lot of great points. I think that's, again, the longevity is simply unparalleled. Certainly in the NBA, it is. Again, like the best year, and this is going back to year 20, but the best year 20 player we've seen was probably Kareem. I think he averaged like 16, 17-ish a game. I think it was about 14. Kobe averaged about 17, but on very inefficient shooting. You know, the fact that he's still doing this at a high efficiency clip, again, he's certainly not the defensive player he used to be, but in spurts, he'll give you the occasional classic chase down block. He sets up his teammates in the best position possible. I was actually surprised, sort of as a little side note, I was surprised to see that the Lakers, I think, are seventh in the NBA in three-point shooting, and we know LeBron thrives around three-point shooters. D'Lo, Austin Reeves, guys like that, able to knock down shots on a consistent basis. A good take I will give you, Keith. I just talked like Yoda. A good take I will give you. I will give you a good take, Keith. Get you to 700
points.
Yes,
he talks. Yes, Yoda talks in reverse. Yes, yes.
Yes, exactly. 900. Yoda would love LeBron. Like the longevity, being able to sustain this greatness for a long time. But, Keith, yeah, I get you to 700 points. Unfortunately,
I mean, he's
100 short. Of John. But so John will make the final and face Barry. Your reaction, Keith, to failing to qualify for the finals here.
I still had fun, and you know what it is? It's rigged. I was coming for the king, and you rigged it against me. You know, you rigged the system against me, but that's okay. I'll still do it again, even though you gypped me out of a championship bid.
Oh. You sound like our Grid Network teammate Tim, who just thought I had it in the bag for him. Just had some personal vendetta. It's like, man, listen, you're just not coming through. It is what it is. But listen, you'll have multiple appearances in the future, multiple opportunities. You are officially on the leaderboard, my friend. So congratulations, great performance, very first performance on the 8 o'clock spot for Keith Nan. And look forward to seeing you in the future. And listen, feel free to stick around for the final here between Barry Grant Jr. and John Rivera. I believe you guys have faced multiple times here in this final round. So this is a fitting rematch, multi-time champions here, a heavyweight battle in at the end. Let's look at our final round rules. It is a winner-take-all type of situation right now, okay? The winner gets 10,000 points. It is the great equalizer of this 8 o'clock spot tournament. The loser comes home empty-handed with 0 points. Win or go home, sink or swim, here we go. And we're about to talk about a player who's actually playing right now. I might as well go ahead and do a little, you know, a stat check. Joel Embiid is back tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. Check his stat line as of right now. He's got 12 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds on 4-for-9 shooting at halftime of the 76ers game. So Joel Embiid is back in the lineup. But something I found pretty fascinating about Embiid is the fact, just the massive, you know, difference, certainly in terms of winning, that the Sixers have had with and without him. With him, the Sixers win about 76% of their games. Without him, they win 34%. So they're obviously, no shock, with a two-time scoring leader, a significantly better basketball team. So I'll ask you, Barry Grant Jr., how dangerous are the 76ers in kind of a weird Eastern Conference this year with Embiid coming back healthy?
Well, I mean, they're extremely dangerous because of his skill set, right? Like, you know, obviously we've been talking about the Boston Celtics all year. We've been talking about how gritty the Knicks are. We've been talking about how much of a fraud the Milwaukee Bucks have been all season. You know, sneaky team like the Miami Heat, they're hanging around. So there's some teams that are in the mix, but nobody's talking about Philly, but they're hanging in there, right? They're hanging in there. They're staying consistent. You know, Maxey is a great player. And listen, although Embiid has had his struggles in the playoffs, you still have to worry about them, because when you got a guy like that, and if he can be able to tap into something or lean on a Maxey more in those situations and just be the, you know, the complimentary piece, who knows? But you can't write them off in regards to saying, okay, well, Embiid is back, they're not going to do anything. They always tend to do good things in the first round. They tend to make it interesting into the second round, can possibly get into the conference finals. So they're always going to hang around there. So yes, you have to worry about them. You have to respect Embiid's game. You understand exactly what happens when he's on the court, is that he's a walking bucket and just a dominant force. So that being back into the lineup, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers are 100% back into that conversation of, you know, those are one of the teams you got to watch out for.
Wouldn't that be a really unfortunate draw if the Boston Celtics get the best record by far in the league and they get Philly in round one with a potentially healthy and fresh Embiid?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No, it would be. And obviously Boston has beaten Embiid, I think, 3 times in the playoffs since he's been there. So obviously there's a history there. Boston's gotten the upper hand, but still, you know, you'd much rather face like the Atlanta Hawks or something in the first round, as opposed to play no defense, as opposed to the Philadelphia 76ers with the championship coach, by the way, Nick Nurse, and a solid roster to boot. To you, John Rivera, how dangerous are the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid coming back from injury?
They're very dangerous, man. You're talking about the, you know,
MVP of the league. You know what I mean? You're talking about one of the best players, top three players in the league, when healthy. Like, and just like y'all was alluding to, like Boston, you don't know what Boston was going to do, man. They just blowing leads to Atlanta, like you're saying. You know, I still don't believe in a coach. Like, that team is just funny. Like, they're just funny. I don't trust Boston, even though I still have them going to the finals, but I don't trust them at all. You trust levels? No. I have trust issues with Boston. Milwaukee, same thing. They got Doc. That's not helping on the Dame experiment. It's going to take a year or two if it works out. You know what I mean? That's Jane Game still gelling. Middleton is still not himself. Him and Clay is kind of equal. Like, they went from all-stars. Well, Clay was a lot better, but they went from all-star calibers to fighting to get a triple-double. Like, get me back in the game. And for points. This wasn't for a rebound or nothing. You got that. You got, and like I said, the other teams, they're just not there. So with Embiid coming back, man, that team is the best coach in the Eastern Conference in my eyes. Nurse, like you said, championship, you alluded to right before. I was going to use that in my segment right here. He's the best coach in the conference. That team has been together. They gel together. There's really not no true superstars other than Embiid. So them play, like I said, they play well. Tobias Harris play well with Embiid there. They hold the fort down since Embiid been, you know, away. Like I said, and that goes to coaching. That goes to the culture, man. Like I said, I believe more in Philly than I do all the other teams in the Eastern Conference. Like you said, Milwaukee, Doc Rivers, we know that. Like I said, Boston, we know how that train ends, you know what I mean? And what's the other team? Those two.
Knicks.
What's the other team in the East? Magic.
Magic is one of them teams that's Sacramento. It's like they barely beat Memphis yesterday. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm not believing in them yet till they do something. The Knicks is definitely the sneaky team that you got to watch out for. But like I said, we're alluding to Embiid, yes, definitely. If he come back at least 85%, I'll probably have them probably, you know, possibly going all the way, man. Like I say, he's definitely the force to be reckoned with, man, for sure.
He is, and again, like I said, two-time NBA scoring leader, obviously multi-time first team NBA guy in last year's league MVP. And I got to admit to you, Nick, I do not think Nick Nurse is a better coach than Eric Spoelstra.
Spo is the best
coach in basketball.
Okay, listen. I apologize. It's just the Heat. They just won them teams. You know, they sit in the corner.
Nick Nurse is up there. He definitely up there, though.
He is a very good coach.
I'm sorry, Spo. Like I said, the Heat are the team. They just in the back of the club just lurking. If somebody say something to them, they're going to get at them. You know what I mean?
That's a good analogy.
So I apologize on that. But, yeah. So he's second out in the Eastern Conference. As far as playoff teams.
Yeah, and I think, too, one thing that I think should be noted about Embiid is, and we'll see, again, I've yet to see the game tonight against Oklahoma City, but we got to see how healthy he is, you know, kind of playing himself these last seven games back into shape. We'll see if they're in the play-in tournament or not in the East. They most likely will be, but we'll see. But, you know, is he, you know, kind of the thing in the past has always been hurt, always had, you know, he's kind of worn down at the end of series. Well, he should have pretty fresh legs after being off for the last, you know, 2.5 months. Maxie is a much more reliable two than James Harden, you know, number two guy. Tobias Harris, good three. You have the best coach you've had in your career in Philadelphia in Nick Nurse. And so I do think there's a certain level of pressure. If you get knocked out by Boston's, it would be a massive, massive season failure if the Celtics don't, I would argue, win the finals, much less, you know, certainly get there. So outside of Boston, and even I would argue, you know, to a certain degree, Milwaukee, I think the expectations for Philly, you know, shouldn't change to what they were at the start of the year, where we tinker with the roster, we're giving Maxey a much bigger role, and now we upgrade at head coach and put together a nice roster around him. And we have some assets, by the way, from the Harden trade where they fleeced the Clippers. And so, you know, we'll see what they're able to put together. But both guys gave great takes. Both guys are very thought-provoking. I always appreciate that in the final round. Really make it difficult to select a champion. But as we dial up the champion music, the champion this week of the 8 o'clock spot is, once again, Barry Grant Jr. is back on top in the leaderboard, wins the 8 o'clock spot. Once again. Give you the floor, villain.
You know, it's always good to go against my good friend John Rivera because I love him. You know, I have nothing bad to say about John at any point that I've ever met this man, right? However, I don't like when I have to face him in the finals because, you know, it's like having to fight your brother. I don't like that, right? However, as the creator of the show, I told you when I need to fix things, I need to get things back in order, you got to do it yourself. That's all it is. and I've restored order back to the 8 o'clock spot. My name is at the top, and I'm way ahead at this point. So I'm good. I'm good.
You're ahead by a significant margin, but again, that's why we do the last round, the 10,000 point, you know, total. It really can kind of vault you up and into the 8 o'clock spot leaderboard. There's no question about it. Looks like we got some comments here. Nicole, I believe from your show, right? Nicole,
Silent Assassin.
For Silent Assassin from the All Even Podcast. She says, always the champ. EJ Savage, Barry's on PEDs like Bonds. No way this streak is legit. Listen, EJ, you gave Barry a W when you were sitting in this seat, so I don't want to hear anything from you. John, I love EJ. He's the best. John, your reaction, man. You put up a heck of a fight tonight.
Hey, I lost walking through the door. Once Barry said, listen, I'm the creator. I should be winning this thing. It was over. Nope. I didn't care what I said.
You got to earn it on this show, man. You got to earn it on this show.
I got to the championship round, man. So, hey, I take it, man. I don't be on here often, but, you know, I'm in the midsection. You know what I mean? Got a couple championships under my belt. Like I said, I appreciate always coming on the show. Always a good time. Like I said, you and Barry are good friends. So, definitely continue doing what y'all doing, man. You know, hopefully the Jets beat both of y'all teams.
Oh, come on.
The Yankees, you know, hopefully the Yankees.
Please don't talk about New York baseball right now. Just don't do it. All right. I have no dog in the fight. I have no dog in the fight right now. I just don't.
He's a man in the Mets now. But, though, likewise, John, you're doing fantastic stuff from the fan perspective. Let's not get too caught up in a cute little start for the Yankees. It's still April. We got a long season to go. If no one else stops them, you better bet everything injuries. You got. The Houston injuries. Astros are going to.
Injuries stop.
We'll see.
Enjoy Juan Soto for as long as you have him, because he'll be in Queens in the winter.
I wouldn't count on that, Barry.
That's a wishful Mets fan always. You know.
Yeah.
At least I can talk junk to the other side. You know, my Jets ain't the greatest, so at least I can talk. a little junk on this side.
Neither my Cowboys at this point. So I guess.
Yes, there's a lot of truth to that. But you know what, though, you know, Barry, you said you'll appreciate this pseudo wrestling reference. I am not even close to the fan that you are, but didn't The Rock a few weeks ago say The Rock deserves it should be seating at the head of the table?
Yes.
That's kind of the energy that you're getting off right now.
That's a great analogy that you just and thank you for bringing that up, because obviously it's WrestleMania week and it's a big week. Me and my fiance are going to be there night one on Saturday. It's going to be great. Nice. And, you know, the way I handle this 8 o'clock spot, I am the final boss. That is true. I am the final boss. Okay. I come here. I make sure that I lay the law down, stretch the lead out, and I'm going to continue to stretch the lead out until it's literally, it can't be touched. And I can go away for about 3 months and still be fine. That's what I'm going to do. All right? I'll be here every week stretching this lead out. That's all I'm saying.
Oh boy, he's about to reel off a LeBron 8 straight final streak right here. That's what he's going to do. we need somebody, Mike, if you're listening, and John right now on the show. Anybody listening that's back. Within reach, you guys have to catch this man. You have to catch him.
I'll be back, man. I'll be back.
For sure. Appreciate you. Shout out to Keith making his first appearance in the 8 o'clock spot. Shout out to John Rivera putting up a great performance. And shout out to the champion once again, Barry Grant Jr., the creator of the 8 o'clock spot. I guess right now it's only fitting. So there you go. All right, that is all the time we have for tonight's show. Appreciate y'all stopping by. Check out the 8 o'clock spot next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time on the Grid Network. We'll be talking March Madness. Both championship games will have been played. We got the NBA playoffs coming up. NFL draft stuff's ratcheting up. Very, very exciting month of April. A lot of stuff going on. So be sure to check us out then. Stay safe out there. God bless y'all. Peace out.